It was end of last year, the last Sunday, God spoke to somebody, tie your way to prosperity. Amen. I shared it on the 12th of January. So God wants to increase this year. He wants to increase. Amen. He increased in prospering you. So that means it's for everyone because it's scriptural. It's not specific to one person. And this year, God's going to increase. God bless you. Because he said, you bring your tithes, then I'll pour out blessings so great, you won't have enough room. That means it's beyond your imagination. Amen. Right? That's the nature of God. When he bless you, he's not the limit. We are the limit. We limit him. Amen. Sometimes we limit him because of our own ability. Right now. Sometimes we limit him because we don't obey him. Right? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. Thy word is true. We thank you, Father, for giving us the power to get wealth. We praise you and thank you as we bring our tithes as worship unto you, honoring all that we have is yours. We thank you, Lord, the seed that we bring, the offering we bring, our seeds that we sow. We thank you for multiplying back to us in Jesus' mighty name. And I believe your word will not return void. And I thank you, Lord, you increase because Apostle John also said in 3 John verse 2, he said, I pray that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Amen. So my job is to make sure you prosper in your soul by teaching what the word of God, what he wants me to teach. And then, you know, then I'll pray for you to prosper. Because John, in the third book of John, in verse 2, he wrote it, he was the last apostle to be alive. He was the only apostle didn't die of martyrdom, die of any tragedy, you know, and he lived the longest and he wrote. And he was the last to write from Ephesus or Patmos, he wrote the 3 John verse 2. And, you know, at the end of his ministry, he should pray that you all become more spiritual. No, he prayed that you prosper. First thing he said, I pray you prosper. Then be in hell, right? As your soul prospers. Amen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. So today, I'll go back on this topic. I'm a spirit, have a soul, live in the body. Amen. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now that the God of peace himself sanctify, separate you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And human beings are three-part beings. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this body, right? And this scripture tells the person it's a three-part being, a threefold nature. And this is very important. This truth came out of the Word of Faith revival. And a few truths came out. And it's going to help you a lot. Because in this world, you have not been hurt in the past, you're going to be hurt in the future, right? Because we live in a world that's like that. So, but if you learn to divide these three parts of you, then the whole purpose of dividing, you know, I used to develop software system, whole system for the whole company. And it's so big how you develop the whole system. And there's one principle we were taught, divide and conquer, right? A huge project, huge problem, you divide them up, you conquer. So it's the same. You divide yourself as a human being, as spirit, soul, and body, so that you identify where your problem is. If it's a spirit, you find a solution for your spirit. If you're a soul, especially if you have a traumatic past, it's in your soul. But you are not the soul, you're the spirit. See, it's very important. Then you don't deal with issues of life, your traumas, from a perspective, oh, I'm like that. No, you're not like that. You're a spirit. Now, we're talking about especially you're born again, you're Christian, right? If your problem is your soul, you're going to see a psychologist or your mental, you're going to see a psychiatrist. But God has every solution for the spirit, soul, and body. If it's your body, then you're going to see a doctor lah. You have to see a doctor, right? I always tell you, go and see a doctor. Unless God tells you otherwise. Amen. So if your problem is your spirit, you find that you're going to see a psychologist, it will never help you. Right? If your problem is your body, you're going to see a... Right? If your problem is your soul, right? You're going to see a doctor, a medical doctor, it won't help you. So you need to identify where your problem is and find a solution. And God has a solution. Amen. When the world doesn't have... God has a solution. Amen. So you help us identify first and foremost. You want to solve a problem, you must know what is the problem. People who are in denial never find solutions. Amen. So it's the same when you come to me, I must be able to, in my spirit, I must be able to put my hand on that, so to speak, on the handle. Just like you use a wok, right? Now. And you must be able to hold the handle, then, you know, it's more stable. If I cannot put my hand to the handle, I cannot find a solution for your problem. So it's the same, right? And, you can be in denial all you want. You'll never solve the problem. This part, every time I hear all they preach is, you know, what Jesus done for us, there's nothing you do. That's one-sided. There are things that you need to do to solve your own problem, especially in the soul or in the body. Amen. What Jesus done for us, oh man, by the grace he died for us. Oh yeah, I know. Amen. That's only one part only, right? And as a believer of Jesus Christ, we are born again. The problem with the spirit is dealt with. is soft, man. So we have God inside us. The devil cannot get in our spirit when God lives inside our spirit. If someone is physically sick, his body is afflicted with sickness, he needs medicine and surgery to help his body recover. The other problem will be the soul, will be our mind, emotions, or will. This is part of the soul, right? Let me tell you a story, Brother Higgins' story. Actually, his father came from a very, in the 1920s, his father came from a very wealthy family, millionaires. And he was the only son. He had, I can't remember how many sisters. So, you know, because he's the only son, right, and your father a millionaire, so they gave him whatever he wants. You know, you want a car, at that time you had a car, and they do everything for him. But the problem is, when Brother Higgins' father got married, his father told Brother Higgins' father, he said, okay, now you're on your own. So all these years, he doesn't know how to take care of himself. Now he's got to take care of his family. You know what he did? He abandoned. When Kenneth Higgins was 6 years old, 9 years old, 6 years old, he just walked out. He just walked out, and his mother has to carry the burden of raising up 4 children. And she was so proud, she doesn't want to go back and ask a parent for help. Until Kenneth Higgins' mother's side grandparents found out and brought them all to stay with the grandmother. But Kenneth Higgins' mother had a nervous breakdown until his nerve was completely damaged and was blinded. Have you come across somebody who had nervous breakdown until she was blind? No. Kenneth Higgins' mother was that way, blinded. But she was under oppression, right? She didn't know and was suicidal. Suicidal, she would run to the kitchen and take a knife and kill herself. But Kenneth Higgins now has moved back to stay with her grandparents, the mother's side. Then the grandmother told him, he was 6 or 9 years old. Hey, you see your mother run to the kitchen, better call grandma. It was traumatic. It did something in him. He never used the word traumatic. Every time you see your mother run to the kitchen, want to kill herself, you run and call grandma. He said it did something in you. So he grew up with a very traumatic past, see? And that, of course, molded his personality. It's a different personality, right? And then when he was young, he and his brother, you know, they were so hungry before they moved back to the grandparents' place. They were so hungry. The neighbor walked over with a peanut butter sandwich. He smelled the sandwich, peanut butter. They just fainted. He was so hungry. So he and his brother, when he was young, had made an agreement. He said, when we grew up, they were going to kill the father. You see how bad it was? He said, the only reason why he didn't do it is because he got born again. The spirit nature was completely changed, right now. So they never killed the father. But he said, when young, because he was born, you know, weak, premature, can I be going to born premature? To the 1 kg or so. So he was very weak. Even go to school, the girls would bully him. He said he couldn't even fight with the girls. I mean, he exerted a bit, he would faint. He hated the whole world. And sometimes I observe some people has got traumatic past. For example, you know, out in the mall, somebody just accidentally just hit you accidentally, you get so mad with people. Sometimes you go like that, instead of okay, no problem. You know, you just get upset, you know, because of your past right now. So that's in your soul, right? It's emotional traumas are in the soul. If you know you are a spirit, not the soul, then you are not the problem because you are a spirit. Your problem is the soul, but you are not the soul. See that now? So you begin to overcome, begin to deal with your problem from a superior position. Because I'm not like that. I'm a spirit, man. I'm born again. And God is in me. I have a new nature. That's my soul problem. So you deal with your emotions. You deal with your soul. You tell your soul what to do. You tell your emotion how you feel. But of course, all of us do flare up, you know. You get what I'm saying? Right? So let's dive into understanding who you are, a spirit. You are not the body, not the mind, nor the emotion, nor the will. Amen? You know, once I understand this, I knew. Now, Bishop used to have a pastor. His wife was always under all kinds of, up to today, still under medication. And I knew that she never walked out of it. I say every 2 years will relapse. Because the solution is in the world, the solution is not in psychology or in psychiatry. They give her medication to. I told the Reverend, what the medication will do you. They just cause you to be zombie. They say chemical imbalance in the brain. They try to balance and make you like a zombie. But it doesn't solve the problem. The problem is in the soul. But the mind actually is in the soul. But the mind is spiritual, right? So they're trying to deal with the brain. They use medicine, chemicals to deal with the brain. It never solved the problem. Since 1999 to today, she's still under medication. So we just read that scripture. Amen. So we are a spirit, soul, and body. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us after you become born again. You are not the soul. In other words, you are not the mind, you are not the emotion, not the will. You are a spirit. That means you take control of your emotion, take control of your mind, take control of your will. Amen. Not? And that's where the spirit comes in. Right? Not? When our spirit is strong, we can control. Amen. That doesn't mean that, you know, once you hear what I teach or you pray a lot, means you're able to control. Right? You will still flare up. But at least you know where the promise is, and slowly you'll get out of it. Let me show you how to get out of it. The quickest way is, if you had somebody done you wrong in the past, the quickest way is, the best way, is you close your eyes, look at the person, and pray in tongues until the emotion is gone. Another thing is, you may have a traumatic past. Somebody may say something and trigger it off. This person says, "Oh, I'm sorry." Easy on him. He just said, "I'm sorry." He walked away. But you know who's the problem? You have a problem because your old wound has been cut open again. But that person says, "Oh, I'm sorry." So he go away. He happy, live his life. God bless him. Right? Where you, because of your wound not fully healed, right or not? Since somebody did something, say something, do something, it cut open the wound again. That's what's happening. That's why you flare. Right or not? That's why people flare, because of old wounds. Amen? But the Bible has a solution. But let's talk about the spirit first. So we are threefold nature. Amen? That's who we are, the spirit. Then we have a soul. We live in the body. Amen? We have minds, emotions. Right? So let's talk about, you are the spirit. Genesis 2 verse 7. When God created Adam, he said, "The Lord formed man from the dust of the ground." That's the body. Came from dust. That's why in funerals, they say from dust to dust. Once you cremate, it goes back to dust. Right? "And breathe into his nostril the breath," or the spirit of life. Amen? What he breathed is, you know, Adam never existed in heaven. Somebody says Adam was in heaven, he sinned against God, so Satan took his place in heaven. That's rubbish. Adam never existed. You never existed in heaven. When your father conceived you in your mother's womb, God just breathed and then the spirit entered into your mother's womb. You know, Andrew Womack also says, so we roughly, it's about 12 weeks. So before 12 weeks, there's no spirit soul in the body, in the fetus, or in the mother's womb. There's a scripture that also kind of allude to that. So he breathed into his nostril the spirit of life. What did he breathe? God is spirit. He breathed into your physical body the spirit of life. And you became a living soul, a living being. What does it mean? You live out of your soul. That means how you live your life depends on your mind, your emotions, and your will. And your spirit live out your soul. That's why it's called the living soul, a living being. Your soul became a living being. Amen? So that's where we see God created Adam with the spirit. He breathed, he became a spirit of life. And that spirit in Adam's body was without sin, was alive to God, was not separated from God, right? And he created his body from the dust. What do you do with the body? Just let it go back to dust, lah. Don't worry about it. Because you're not going to have another body that's of dust. We're going to have a terrestrial body in the future. Amen? So don't want to fight over funeral. What do you do with your body? Put into the sea or bury, right? So it became a living being, a living soul. So man is a spirit, soul, and body. Amen? So if someone is born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. When you have God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in your spirit, you have the power of life to overcome all challenges. And you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, right? I know you may want to give up, but just remember that the power of God is in you. Amen? Will help you to overcome or any challenges. So your spirit is who you are. You are a spirit, have a soul, and live in your body. So you need to develop your spirit or grow spiritually. And there are three essentials. At the end, then I'll tell you what are three essentials. So our spirit is our true identity, created by God's breath, and it's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. After we are born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit. That's where he speaks to our spirit. He doesn't speak to our mind. Amen? When he speaks to our spirit, whatever he says comes up into our mind. Amen. He's a source of divine power, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and he connects us to God's power to overcome challenges in our spirit, right? That's the reason why we need to pray and strengthen our spirit, not let it be weakened. The soul bridges between the spirit and the body. The mind, our thoughts, our cognitive processes, emotions, our feeling, emotional responses. Now, all these three are created by God. So it's not a bad thing. Amen. Use it correctly. Amen. The will, our decision-making. Don't raise up your kid. It's so weak. He couldn't make decisions. Everything you do for him. I'm telling you, there are girls that tell me why they don't like their boy because he's so immature. Yeah, I understand why. Because parents, only son, do everything do for him. What they are saying, immature, means this guy, you marry him, you don't know how to take care of the family. I told you a story before. Payan's father was a farmer. He said, if I continue to be a farmer, all of us forever be poor. He just make a decision. Of course, suffers lah. He moves to Shenzhen and sell fish. Sell fish, you know. But you think he sell fish now? He doesn't sell fish now. He moved out of poverty. Then at 12 years old, fathers went to Qingdao. Okay, you go to school there, send her there. And after send her sister, brother there, she has to take care of the brother and sister at young age. Now she's trained her son. One day her son come home. He told the mother, don't open the door for me. He wants to know how to open the door. I guess it's the first time, huh? Right now. Another story I heard somewhere. This boy, one day, hey, daddy so big really. Grandma still do things for him. You know why? All these years like that, lor. Grandma been doing things for him. He's spoiled, right now. That's why last time I told the story. Remember Ariel? At age 10 years old, he just cycled all the way to Turf Club without telling the mother. Came back and told the mother. The mother just, and because we taught her, she said, man, I just pray, man. I mean, where's there to get panic? He re-went and came back already, right now. You don't know when is he going to go again. You panic, lah. Amen. You never shield your children from the world. You prepare them for the world. Amen. And I said it before. You lack parental care, your mother's, father's care or love. You pour all your love and care on your child. You think you're doing him good. You're not careful. You're spoiling him. He grew up, he doesn't know how to care for others. Because all along, you care for him. You just kanjong. Wow, beat only. Right? 10 years old, Oliver, he told the mother, I'm going to take the bus, take MRT to school. And he's a bit unique, like this boy. One time, you know, school event, he said, so boring. He stood up and then he stirred up the whole event. Got everybody excited. After, you know what happened? He goes to international schools. The Ang Mo girls like him, start to talk to him. Suddenly, wow, this Chinese boy. At first, he said, they don't talk to this Chinese boy. And all start to talk to him. He's so happy. Come back home, he said, wow, the Ang Mo girls talk to me. But do you know something else? His English definitely will be different. Correct? Improve. You see that? But he took the initiative. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our body, our earthly vessel, right? Physical form, temporary housing, instrument of interaction. Through our body, we interact with the physical world and express our inner self. Our bodies serve as a temporary dwelling for our spirit and soul during this time on earth. Made from the dust of the ground, a body is a tangible part of being. It goes back to dust. Don't get excited about your body, what you do with the body after somebody died. You know, go and fight. That's why I always tell family, don't quarrel over funeral. You are a Christian. Others in the home are non-Christian. Let them do whatever they want. Don't fight over the... Because it's the body that goes back to dust. He is the spirit. When he dies, he's with Jesus. Right now. The other thing is, getting married, you know, I refuse to kneel before my parent-in-law. What's wrong with kneeling before your parent-in-law? I'm not worshipping them. It's a culture. My wife wants me to kneel. I kneel in honoring them, Lord. Right now. I don't want to kneel because I only worship God. Kneel means I worship me. Huh? I told you for years when Chinese New Year, thank God now we don't have to. Every Chinese New Year, I go to see her parents, I got a new, and then bring the ang pao and the orange. New. Pastor knew before father and mother-in-law. You think I fight over those? Right now. Well, I'm a spirit. Right now. Your spirit is in Christ. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. For God wanted them to know the riches and the glory of God are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in us. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. He said, Christ lives in you. Who are you? You see, once you understand that we are spirit, soul, and body, when you read this scripture, put that word spirit in the word you. Christ lives in your spirit. You are a spirit. Amen. Christ means the anointed, the anointing and the anointed one. And how is Christ living in us? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. It's a miracle. It's a supernatural thing that we don't understand. How our spirit, the Holy Spirit, God also lives. You cannot imagine. Okay, science cannot explain. Amen. Just know that Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. Christ means the anointed and the anointing. The anointing means power. The power of the Holy Ghost is in your spirit. And don't listen to those first thing that you have a demon in your spirit. You don't have. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to share room with the demons. Right? The Holy Spirit is in your spirit. He's not going to say, oh, you're a demon, you come. Okay, let me share room. Right? Demons cannot go into a Christian who has the Holy Spirit in them. John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither see him nor know him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, substitute the word with spirit. He dwells with your spirit and he is in your spirit because you are a spirit. Amen. So we are spirit. We are with the Almighty One living inside of us. There's nothing we cannot overcome. Amen. So this is something that science cannot explain, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, we're still talking about your spirit. Therefore, if anyone that's in Christ, he's a new creation. Amen. New creation means new. Nothing old. in Christ. Christ is in you. We read early on, you are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. Christ is in your spirit. Your spirit is in Christ. You are a new creation. That means your spirit is completely new. Nothing old. Amen. That's why when we get saved, the scripture never says we receive the Holy Spirit. No. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't receive the Holy Spirit. Receive, you must be there to receive. But when you're born again, your old spirit is completely dead, gone. So you're not there to receive. You're born again. When were you first born? Then you're born again. First time you're born, when you were in the mother's womb, where God breathed into your body, the spirit and soul, and now you're born again. Now you're born again. Your soul is not born again, okay? Your spirit only. That's why it says you are a new creation. All things all pass away, dead. Now, what a baptism symbolize that? You pass away. That's why it's burial. Jesus' burial was a type of we've been buried. How we were buried? We don't have to be buried and go to hell. No, just died, lah. Pass away. You know what? Somebody passed away means it no longer exists. I mean, the old spirit no longer exists, including your past. Right? Including whatever happened in the past. That's why Brother Higgins wanted to kill the father, but the moment he was born again, that was gone. He didn't want to kill the father anymore. Amen. So old thing has passed away. Old thing means old thing. Your new creation means your spirit is completely created new. You never read in the scripture whereby when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. No. That's why when the scripture says we receive the Holy Spirit, it's always talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because when you're born again, you are not there to receive the Holy Spirit because you're gone. He recreated the new spirit in you. Amen. You never heard it explained before, right? Behold, all things have become new. You have a new body? No, you have a new body, gula. Then all the aesthetic business will go. If I have a new soul, that new mind, new emotion, new will, then there will be no problem, really. Why all things become new means your spirit. Amen. Before you're born again, to a certain aspect, your spirit has a nature of the devil after you. Initially, we have the nature of God because the spirit came from God. After, you know, we sin, then our spirit begins to take on the nature of the devil. How bad it is depends on who, right? People who are very evil, then the spirit nature really very evil. So you are a new creation in Christ, all right? Old self passed away. When we accepted Christ, old spirit is gone. New spirit created by the Holy Spirit within us. And from there on, it's an ongoing transformation of the soul and the body. Amen. So your old spirit was gone. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Christ in you, you are in Christ. Now, the other part of the scripture in bracket is not in the original Greek. That's why I put it in brackets. Because New King James is there, but you read the New Living Translation, the other part is not there. That means the scripture only reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But in Christ, no condemnation because you are new creation. All has passed away. Amen. You have no past. See, people who don't understand this truth will go into generation curse, generation curse, generation curse. No, all has passed away, including any curse has passed away. Gone, right? You know who is my ancestor? Jesus. Because I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. Amen. My spirit never come from my father. When I was in my mother's womb, my spirit and soul came from God the Father. My flesh came from my father. See that? So, when we are talking about my ancestor, it's my ancestor or my flesh. Amen. But my spirit initially came from God, then it sinned against God, it separated from God, died spiritually. But now I'm born again, I'm back in connection with God, I'm connected back with God, no longer separate. That's why Jesus is the head of the husband and wife, spiritually. In the home, there's two aspects. One, the natural home. That's the other one, the spiritual side. Spiritual side, Jesus is the head, not the husband. Amen. So there's no condemnation. I don't care what happened in the past. Don't feel condemned. Once you feel condemned for anything, right, it's the devil who's trying to condemn you, bombarding your thoughts with condemnation. Where is the thought? It's in the mind. Where's the mind? It's in the soul. Amen. Anyone who's in Christ, are you still in Christ? Yes, because Christ has not left you. Amen. Holy Spirit is in you. Anyone who is in Christ, there's no condemnation. Anyone who is in Christ, no matter what happened, what you've done wrong, no condemnation. Any condemnation, you deal with the condemnation first. Amen? You rebuke them. You're not condemnation, can kill. Okay? I mean, you don't deal with the past, your traumatic past. Like I said earlier on, the guy will say, oh, I'm sorry, I said something, done something wrong. But traumatic past can develop bitterness that kills you. Okay? that will kill you. Amen. It will develop into sickness. Amen. I mean, whatever people have done you wrong, they just say, oh, I'm sorry. They live their life happy. Then you can die of sickness. Not worth it. He can say, you know. And how you overcome that? You better pray for the person. Right or not? Pray until the emotion is gone. You don't feel it anymore. That means I can look at him. He can say anything. It doesn't bother me anymore. Then you have come out of your wound. Amen. If not, that wound has not fully healed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So God does not condemn us of the past, the present, and the future because of the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. Amen. The past is gone. Present, he cleansed. Future, he continues to cleanse before the future comes. Amen. So therefore, there's no condemnation in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Past forgiven, present, there's grace. We stand in God's grace free from condemnation. Future, our righteousness in Christ is secure. Our future is secure. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What else about the spirit man? For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right or righteous. That's who you are. That's your spirit. Now, you cannot grow in righteousness. You cannot decrease in righteousness because he created you righteous when you're born again. He created you brand new, new creation, and you created right before God, right with God through Christ Jesus. And that doesn't change. Amen. We don't grow in righteousness, right? We grow in grace, but not in righteousness. We are made righteous. That's a spirit. So you're made righteous. That's who you are. That's your spirit. Amen. And not only that, you are made holy. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him we have redemption. Have is a present active verb. That means it's continuous. We have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So he forgive us now, forgive us in the past, forgive us in the present, in the future he will forgive us, but we need to repent. Amen. By his grace, he forgives us, but we have to repent. It's two different issues. So our spirit is right or righteous with God. Our spirit nature is righteous. That's who we are. We are righteous person. Amen. We are righteous person. That means when you deal with business affairs, you are dealing righteously. Amen. Not then it's going to be your soul. Amen. If you cheat somebody, then your soul, your greed is in your soul or in your personality. I was just told there's somebody who used to work in the church and his son used to be a commando, sound commando. After that, he worked in the church. Man, he and his father steal the sound equipment from the church. Why was it? It's because of the soul, right? So that means we don't deny, you can be righteous. We do look at your personality, your character, right? That part is a problem. Just like Brother Higgins, he was molded, he became an introvert. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, talking about your spirit. But you are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are a royal priest, royal priest. You priest, what do? You worship him. A holy nation, together with everyone in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are called a holy nation. Amen. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is another scripture that talks about we are no longer in darkness. You don't need deliverance. You need to know the truth, and truth will set you free. Right? I told you, some preachers in China, oh man, you need to cough out unclean things. There's no unclean things. You're out of darkness. What else is in there? Light. I'm not in darkness. Amen. There's no darkness in me. There's no darkness in my life. I told you this guy, I'm concerned about one of my graduates. He's a very impulsive guy. He came to Singapore, went to St. Andrew Cathedral. He prayed. He saw angel. He came to my house, he prayed. Pastor, I saw a demon in your house. I told him, don't bring him to my house next time. Ask Karen, how come you didn't know there's a demon in my house? If there has been a demon all along, right? And I've been praying, as if I don't pray. And God doesn't speak. You come tell me got a demon. I tell him, don't bring the demon next time. And I was told that now, he started a church. He tell this person got a demon, tell that person got a demon. He's very demon conscious. How do you know there's a demon? When the Lord reveals. If he doesn't, means there's none. And most Christians does not have a demon with them. Amen. And he doesn't want to listen. Oh, demon. Christ is in me. Holy Spirit dwells in me. I'm a child of God, child of light, and there's demon in my house. I don't know, And I spend time praying. I spend time with God. I spend time praying. I don't know. I need you to come from somewhere else and tell me there's a demon in my house. I told him next time, don't bring to my house. He said, Pastor, next time I won't come. I said, good. Don't come to my house anymore, right? We are a holy nation, and you'll never get more holy than now. You're holy, right? Your spirit is holy because the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell in you if you're unholy. Hello?
Holy Spirit dwell in you and your spirit is unholy. Well, every day he cannot take it. Man. Amen. He created you brand new creation. Made you righteous, made you holy. Then he dwells in you. Now he doesn't dwell in your soul, okay? Amen. That's where most of the people, where the problem is. I mean, all of us have problems with the soul, including me. Right now. Amen. So it depends on who's in charge here. If I'm in charge, then you get it, right? So our righteous spirit is in Christ. Amen. We are a royal priesthood, holy nation. We are called to light. We've been called out of darkness into his light. Amen. Let's read this. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Am I following him? I'm out of darkness. I'm not walking in darkness. There's demons in my house. Let me tell you, last time, at least two landed property. We had prayer group there. When I went there to lead the group of prayer, demons was at the gate. Okay? And I told the host, I said, man, not my house. Did I follow him? Yes, I followed him to the cross. I was born again. I do not walk in darkness. You shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I have the light of life in my spirit. Light always give me illumination. And this light that comes from the Holy Spirit doesn't grow dim, you know. So, man, just because you don't walk with him means, well, the light grows dim. No, the Holy Spirit of light in your spirit never grows dim, never grows dark. Just that you're not aware because you're so worldly, man. You're so, your life just revolves around everything that's outside. You're not aware, but it never grows dim, that light that's in you. So we do not walk in darkness. We have the light of life. Where? In our spirit. The mind, that's where the problem is. If you're not taught the word, all you have is, man, whatever you've been trained with or whatever you've not been trained with. Right now. So we follow him by accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Now, Jesus said that, but it was before he died and rose again. Now, this Paul was talking about, he was talking, writing to the church, those people who are born again. He said, there you are all sons of light. He doesn't say, if you live good, you know, you'll be good, then you are the sons of light. He said, no, you're all sons of light, including some of the nonsense people in the church. You're sons of light because the light is in you. Amen. You are sons of light and sons of the day. Now, he talked about after the rapture. He said, you won't be left behind. We are not of the night nor of darkness because we came out of darkness. Our spirit came out of darkness. How? The whole spirit completely died. Amen. He created a new spirit in us. That's who you are. Right now. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is a message which we have heard from him and declared to you. Now, this Apostle John, he wrote this. He was the last, to write. He was the last surviving apostle of the Lamb, apostle and apostle of the Lamb. He was the last apostle, and he wrote. He said, we heard from him, Jesus. He was with Jesus for 3.5 years and declared to you that God is light. And in him, Christ is in us. I'm in Christ. I'm in him. It's no darkness. Which aspect of you is in him? My spirit is in him. There's no darkness. Amen. Learn to look inside. You will get the illumination. You get the light. He will illuminate you. He will show you. He will guide you. Amen. Business, relationship, anything in life. Just learn to pause. So robocho nombre. Learn to pause and learn to listen on the inside. Sometimes it's good that you just lock yourself somewhere, in the toilet or somewhere, Because, oh, Pastor, oh, how so noisy. Lock in the toilet, I'm sure they won't come in. Then you lock yourself inside there. Then you just wait. Wait upon him. Learn to look on the inside. Amen. Because you are children in him. You are in him. He has never left you. Amen. There's no darkness. In your spirit, there's light. That's where he guides you. Amen. He will show you what is to come. And that's where he gives you wisdom to deal with every issue. Every issue, ask God for wisdom to make decisions. So that you will know that the other person try to hide whatever or, that you don't know. Right now. Amen. Learn to look inside, look at the light. So we are in him because he is in our spirit. We are in Christ because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Since God is light, we are in him. There's no darkness at all in our spirit. If a believer does not pray and read the word, he is unaware of the light because he's more busy with many natural things. Yet that light in his spirit is still there. But he goes about in life, influenced by everything around him. So you're not aware of because you're so aware of natural things. So he is completely oblivious of the
light. In other words, he is soulish, living his life based on his mind, emotions, and will, and the desire of the flesh. Amen. You want to excel, exceed others who are as good or even better than you, learn to listen. Look to the light. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Now, verse 5 says, in you there's no darkness. In him, God is light. In him there's no darkness. Then verse 7. But if we, that this word if is in the Greek, is third condition translated should be, because of the verb in front, I'm not a Greek expert, okay? It should be translated, we may or may not walk in the light. But Jesus said, follow me, there's no darkness, you'll be walking in the light. There's light in there, my spirit does not walk in darkness. So we may or may not. Now, this talk about your soul. This scripture, you have to apply it to your soul and to your spirit. Amen. Now, we may or may not walk in the light. This is referring to the soul, the outward. You see, your business dealing is dark. Your business dealing is right. This refers to the soul. But as he is in the light, who is in the light? The Holy Spirit, God, the Father, Jesus is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Our spirit can fellowship with one another. Amen. So we may or may not walk in the light, but our spirit still in fellowship. Right? Because our spirit, there's still light. I'm still walking in the light. Jesus said, follow me. You will not walk in darkness. You walk in the light. You're the child of light. There's no darkness in you. If out of our spirit we can fellowship, there's still fellowship. But if out of our mind sometimes we cannot lie. Because, you know, if you walk in the darkness in your mind, you know, in your outward life, then in the outward life we cannot fellowship. That's why there are some friends you just don't want to get around them, because they always live their life in darkness. That's talking about the soul. Not talking about, it can be Christian too. So we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The word sin is a noun. Amen. Means it cleanses you of the power of sin, not the sin you commit. See now? If you do not commit, why is you cleansed? Right now, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse you from the power of sin. The word sin is noun. Amen. That's why in the New Testament, many times the word sin is not a verb, not an act of committing sin, but actually it's a noun. When it's a noun, what does it represent? It represents the power of Satan who causes us to sin. And the blood of Jesus purge it, keep us free from the power of Satan. Amen. So whether you walk or no walk, the blood of Jesus continues to purge, keep that power of Satan away from you. But some people, they stray too. I mean, they get into deep, into maybe, you know, some gang really deep. They stray too far away from the grace of God into the devil's territory. Of course, the devil will create problems in their life. If not, the blood continues to cleanse. Amen. But you stray too far, the blood of Jesus has got no effect really. So the word cleanse is present active verb that denotes a continuous cleansing action. The word sin is a noun referring to Satan, the power of sin. It's not a verb that indicates the act of sinning. So the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us of the power of Satan, the power of sin. This is the grace of God. We may or may not walk in the light on the outward, but the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us. In this verse, the soul may or may not be walking in the light, but our spirit can still fellowship with God, with one another, because the Holy Spirit of light is in our spirit. Amen. Next thing about spirit is we are the temple of God, walking in the light. Recognize the light within. You acknowledge the presence of God's light is in your spirit. Choose to walk in the light. How you choose? Learn to listen. Look on the inside. Sometimes, you know, things confound you. You just learn to listen to the inside. Amen. Then you follow the light, then you're walking in the light. Right? Make conscious decision to align with God's truth. That's another way to walk in the light. And you will experience continuous cleansing. And because you're a child of God, child of light, you will experience continued cleansing, because the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from the power of sin. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:16 talks about we are the temple. Our spirit is a temple. That's why your spirit is made righteous and holy. Do you know that you are the temple? You, who are you? Spirit, right now. You, your spirit, the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Amen. He's not going to dwell in an unholy temple. That's why you're holy. There's no generation curse. Amen. Because you are God's temple. Whatever curse is on Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. Amen. So you are the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God, his divine dwelling. Our spirit is the divine dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirit is perfect. It's a perfect sanctuary, right? It's holy, it's righteous, and without sin, does not have the sinful nature, because it's completely born again. Amen. And the power is inside your spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in your spirit. Amen. So we ought to develop our spirit. We need to develop our spirit. Three essentials. One, constant renewal. Your spirit needs to be renewed, because if not, it will be drained. Especially in the workplace, many times you are working with other spirits, it drains you. Some other spirit has got evil spirit with them. It drains you. Amen. It drains your spirit. Your spirit can be drained. So you need to constantly renew your spirit. Secondly, to develop your spirit, you need to walk in the spirit. Amen. Thirdly, if you don't know how to teach this, you only have 2/3 of it. The ways of the Holy Spirit. When you follow Him, you learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. You can also learn the ways of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. You can learn the ways of the Holy Spirit through the testimonies of others. I mean, for example, after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, He came up, the Holy Spirit anointed Him. He went to ministry. First place, where did He go? The Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness. That's one of the ways of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when God leads you to a job, how come I'm suffering? Praise God. Suffering is part of the grace of God. If you read First Peter, the book of First Peter, there are two aspects of suffering. Jesus suffered as our substitute, that you don't need to suffer. Preach, well, He died for us, done. But there's another aspect of suffering. He suffered as our example, that we suffer. Amen. Now, did Jesus suffer? He led Him to the wilderness. I mean, when the Holy Spirit came upon Him, anointed Him, full of power, first thing He went to, the Holy Spirit said, okay, let's go into the wilderness. Huh? Guess who is in the wilderness? Satan was there, and Satan tempted Him 3 times. I mean, before He could heal somebody, Satan was tempting Him. He suffered beginning of His ministry. He suffered at the end of His ministry. He didn't want to go to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He sweat blood. He said, oh God, impossible. Don't go to the cross. Cannot. And guess what? His 3 disciples, you know, I thought you're supposed to pray with me. You know, you fall asleep. Depend on you. But finito. Amen. So, what other people heard is all what Jesus did for them on the cross. Hey, there's more to it than just on the cross. What Jesus did for us on the cross, the finished work of the cross, that's only one aspect. Amen. How about you need to constantly renew? How about you need to walk in the Spirit? How about you need to know the ways of the Holy Spirit? Right? I just gave you 2 examples. So next week we'll go into it. All this has to do with your soul. Amen. If you know your spirit, you know your spirit has the power of God, power of the Holy Ghost inside. You know who you are. Then your emotion is not you. Then your mind is not you. Amen. Then your will is not you. But we have to live through our mind, our will, and emotions. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. So embrace this truth, that your true identity, you are worthy, you are holy, you are powerful because the Holy Spirit is in you. Amen. Understanding your true identity as a spirit can transform yourself, perception, and empower you to live confidently in Christ. Amen. You know, sometimes some people need to look back. You know, every time, quit. You know why? Because you know what happened in your life in the past. Amen. And you better arrest yourself. Before God can bless you, you quit. Right now, I'm telling you, when He leads you, the first day, most of the time, not going to be payday. You know? Man, where He leads you, are you going to be blessed? Yes. But it may not come the first day, it may not first month, first year. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So in conclusion, living as a spirit, soul, and body. Embrace your spiritual identity. Recognize that you are primarily a spirit created in God's image. He recreated you in His image. That means when you are in your mother's womb, you also were righteous and holy. Some teachings say, oh man, I born with sin from Adam. The spirit and soul came from God. When God created our spirit and soul in my mother's womb, it was perfect. It was righteous without sin. It was holy. Amen. Then He recreated my spirit again, right? That's the greatest miracle, actually. And mind cannot comprehend. The science cannot explain. So nurture your soul to care for your mind, emotions, and will through God's wisdom. Then we need to honor your body, treat your physical body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you are a spirit. You are not unworthy. You are holy and righteous. And you have the light of God in your spirit to guide you in life. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. You are in Christ, and there's no condemnation from God in your life. And if God don't condemn you, why you condemn yourself? No. Why you let the devil condemn you? Because you don't condemn yourself. Right? You allow those thoughts to be, you allow the devil to condemn you. Nobody condemns. The children don't condemn themselves. No, sometimes they do. They're not talking. Like a friend says something, oh man, they feel condemned. No, you don't condemn yourself. It's the devil who condemns you, but you are embracing his thought. You allow him. You just took his thought, right? But in Christ, there's no condemnation. Amen. If there's any thoughts of condemnation, it's from the devil's thought that is spoken through someone. You don't have to feel insecure. have low self-esteem, I'm telling you, the remedy for low self-esteem is knowing who you are in Christ, who you are in Him. Amen. Who you are in Christ, right? I mean, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you're a temple of God, why should you be insecure? If God is with you, God is for you, God is in you, why should you be insecure? Why should you have low self-esteem? You should esteem yourself highly, but not beyond. There's a scripture that says, don't esteem yourself beyond what you actually are. But don't, I have time, you know, you're not worth a dime at that, right? Dave, you know who you are. When you talk to your boss, when you talk to other superiors, you don't talk to them from an inferior position. Amen. But if you don't know your staff, you're not knowledgeable, that's where your problem is. Then you need to go brush up your knowledge on the product or whatever. Amen. Else you should not. Why should you feel inferior? Right? Amen. So you don't have to feel insecure, have low self-esteem, or have no self-worth. You don't have to feel inferior and always need something natural to make you look worth a lot, you know. So knowing you are a spirit solves a lot of psychological problems. Amen. What do you do? I mean, Brother Higgins, he was just a victim of... Actually, the parents told Brother Higgins' mother, don't marry this guy, you know. He came from a very good family, rich family, but he's not husband material. And she said, I'm telling you, in my life, I heard two persons make this statement and they paid the price. She said, if I make bed hard, I'll lie on it. Oh, finish. That thought is from the devil. If you have the kind of thoughts, you better pray. Amen. It's pride. Amen. You can say amen, cannot say oh me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.